This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
Hey everyone, at least once a day, my daughter freaks out because a wasp might fly too close to her, and then she starts demanding that I kill it. And she's not the only one. We all have a hate-hate relationship with wasps, but our bug expert and rice biology professor Scott Solomon joins lead producer Dina Kespa to explain why we should stop killing wasps and embrace those scary-looking mud nests that we see around the house. It's Thursday, August 10th, 2023. I'm Rahil Ramzanli, and here's what Houston's talking about.
Scott, welcome back to CityCast. How have you been?
Hey, Dina. Great. How about you?
I've missed you. I love talking bugs. You know that.
Well, you know I'm always up for talking bugs.
All right. Before we get into talking about wasps, I have to ask, have you ever eaten a bug for fun?
Oh, absolutely. For fun and because they're delicious.
Oh, my Lord. Okay. I don't even want to unpack that. I don't want to yuck someone's yum. You know, this is definitely something that people eat in different cultures. Me personally, I won't willingly eat it if you sneak it into my food and then tell me way after and I enjoyed it. You know, I think you could get away with it.
I'm going to keep that in mind. Next time we have a meal together. You might want to be careful about what you're eating.
Ooh, noted.
But it'll be delicious, I promise.
All right, let's talk wasps. I detest wasps just as much as I hate roaches. I hate wasps. I must ask, are these disgusting little thingies, are they native to Houston?
Oh, the poor wasps. Well, many of them are. And my guess is that most of the wasps that you interact with on a regular basis are native to our area. And I would say many of them actually do really important things.
See, from what I remember is that they were killing bees and that you're supposed to kill a wasp, unless there's a different breed of wasp that we're supposed to be killing that's out there eating our bees.
Actually, most of the wasps in our area are really important native predators, parasites, and for the most part, they're not doing anything to bees. So actually, many of them are like predators of spiders, predators of cockroaches, predators of things that you probably would rather have fewer of. And so in many ways, keeping wasps around, it's kind of like having natural pest control.
Wow. But is there a wasp that does attack bees?
So I think one that made the headlines fairly recently was something called the murder hornet. You remember when that was in the news?
Yes.
People were all concerned about murder hornets, which partly, yeah. I mean, when you call it a murder hornet, of course, it sounds terrifying. And those actually are predators of bees, and they're not native to North America. They're native to East Asia, but a few of them somehow made their way over to the Pacific Northwest. And in that area, they were a concern for bees, for honeybees. And so that made a lot of news headlines, but they're not found in Texas. So we don't have to worry about murder hornets here.
Okay, that's good to know. Is it just me, or do I feel like there's just a lot more wasps these days flying around?
Yeah, I mean, I think part of what you probably are experiencing is just some of the natural life cycle of a lot of the wasps that live in our area, because they have, you know, laid their eggs in the spring, and a lot of those eggs have now hatched, and the adult wasps are kind of out doing their thing for much of the summer. So that's probably what you're experiencing, is just the sort of natural life cycle of the wasps. And that means, yeah, there can be more adult wasps flying around doing their thing, you know, in these warm summer months. But that's just kind of the natural cycle for these wasps.
Oh, I got you. And why do they always build their nests like right next to our homes? I mean, is there something specific that attracts them to the area?
I think they just want to be close to you, Dina. I think, you know, that they just like you. No, I mean, basically, I think it's our homes are actually good habitat for many of the species of wasps in our area. So, I mean, I can give you some examples, right? So one of the most common wasps that people see in the Houston area are a few different species of paper wasps. These are the ones that they build a nest that looks like it's kind of made out of like cardboard. And that's basically what it is. Yeah. It's kind of hanging by a little thread, right? And then you see kind of the nest structure that has the little cavities where they lay their eggs. And those species do like to be in protected overhanging areas. So like out in nature, they would maybe make a nest like in a cave or under a cliff overhang or on the underside of a branch. But your, you know, front porch or under your gutter or something like that, that's a really great spot for them because it's protected from the rain. It's, you know, a little bit of protection from predators, and it's a good place for them to raise their young.
That makes a lot of sense. I've always been bothered by them, to be honest, even though it looks magnificent to see that they can build that. But it's like the second you're coming home, there's always like a bunch of them buzzing around, almost like they're coming home just when I'm coming home.
They probably are.
Yeah. But like, how do you get rid of these nests?
Yeah. I mean, they're out during the day and they're, in the case of the paper wasps, they're out, you know, trying to hunt and find some food to come back and feed to their young. So, you know, their colonies are structured kind of like honeybees where there are workers, there's a queen, and they all help to raise the young. But that's different from another kind of wasp that you might also be seeing, for example, around your home, front porch, and that kind of environment. And those are the mud daubers. And I think probably most listeners are familiar with mud daubers because they make a nest that just looks like somebody flung some wet mud and it's stuck to the wall or stuck to the ceiling, right? But those wasps, they're actually really different. They are not social wasps. And what that means is that they don't cooperate to raise their young. So a single queen will make one of those nests, that mud thing that looks like it's just somebody stuck it on to your wall. That's actually the nest. And it is going to have an egg inside or multiple eggs inside of an empty chamber. If you were to open that mud structure up, you would find that it's hollow. And inside is going to be actually the wasp larva that grows and develops inside there. But the really amazing and crazy thing is that what they do, the female wasps are going to set those baby wasps up for success by giving them food along with a protected environment. And their food are spiders. So they actually sting a spider, but the sting doesn't kill the spider. It just paralyzes it. And then they capture that spider and they bring it in and they stick it inside that little chamber. And so the spider is alive, but it can't move. I mean, it's like something from a horror movie. God, right?
Literally, I was thinking this is a horror movie.
It is a horror movie if you're the spider. But, you know, from another perspective, it's like, oh, what a caring mother, right? I mean, the wasp has given its baby a snack for when it is large enough to, you know, consume it. And so actually those mud daubers are doing you a service, I guess, by, you know, minimizing the number of spiders in the area. And they actually don't really, I mean, they can sting a person, but they are not aggressive. They're really reluctant to sting. You have to kind of really force them to sting you. If you like grabbed it and, you know, were aggressive with it, it would probably sting to defend itself. But their venom that they use to sting is, as I said, it's really about subduing a spider and paralyzing it. It's not really meant for defense.
Oh, wow. That's so crazy. I'm just mortified at the idea of her bringing a paralyzed spider to her babies and like, here you go, now kill, you know, on cue. It's like wild.
It is. So, you know, one of the things that's interesting is that there's this tradition in the South and you know, here in the Houston area as well, that people will often paint the ceiling of their porch like a sky blue color. That's like a really traditional color to use in painting a porch ceiling. And right. It turns out that the reason is that traditionally, people thought that if you paint your porch that color, that mud daubers won't build their nests on the ceiling. And it turns out that there is some truth in that, because the types of paint that used to be used actually had a natural insecticide in them, but typically they don't anymore. So they would be, you know, using paint with lye, and that would naturally serve as a way of keeping those wasps away. But it's interesting that the tradition still exists. You still often see that light blue, kind of sky blue color on the porch ceiling. And people have the sense that it helps to keep the mud daubers away. But I think for the most part today, it just kind of looks nice.
Yeah. Wow. So then how do you get rid of these nests if you don't have your house painted, you know, with lime or anything like that?
So, I mean, really the only way to get rid of them is just to, you know, knock them down individually, right? So, you know, you can power wash your building, your porch, and you know, get rid of the mud daubers. Or for the paper wasps, you know, you need to be careful because obviously they can sting. And the best way to remove those is with one of those like insecticide sprays that can shoot a really long distance. Mm-hmm. Those are pretty effective. But, you know, I would say just decide whether it really is posing a danger to you. In many cases, if it's in a place that you're not going to be regularly going and interacting with them, these wasps aren't generally aggressive unless you're threatening their nests. And if you're threatening their nests, then of course they're going to defend themselves.
Right.
So if you do have to remove them, you can do it that way. But, you know, otherwise, maybe just kind of let them do their thing. And like I said, they are natural pest control. So they're going to help keep the populations of other insects a little bit lower. So if you're gardening, for example, you know, you might have some issues with pest insects in your garden. And a lot of these wasps are going to help to control those.
Wow. You know, I got to talk to you about this trend that I'm seeing on TikTok of people using like a glass of gasoline and water and soap, like this combination to get wasps away from their homes. And literally you just see the wasps fall into the cup, like just drop in there. What is it about this method that's causing them to do that?
Oh my gosh, that sounds super dangerous.
Yeah.
Well, it sounds to me like they're just poisoning them with, you know, really nasty chemicals. So I would be very cautious about doing anything like that. Mm. I would recommend using either one of the kind of insecticide sprays that you can get from, you know, your local hardware store or a place like that, or contacting a pest control professional. I mean, some of the insects that some of the wasps that people have had painful encounters with, wasps that do sting people from time to time, things like, for example, yellow jackets. I don't know about you, but I've had some painful encounters with yellow jackets. These are wasps that usually make nests in the ground, and they are social wasps. And so all the social wasps are going to defend their nests because they're protecting their the young. And so for me, it was out in the garden, and I didn't know there was a yellow jacket nest there, and I was digging. And all of a sudden, it felt like someone had stuck a hot needle in my head, and I had gotten stung on the scalp, which is a really unpleasant place to get stung by anything, and especially a yellow jacket.
Oh my God, so, ow.
Yeah, those aren't fun. But again, they're not going to, you know, be aggressive unless you're threatening their nest. I just didn't know there was a nest there. So if you have a situation like that where you become aware that there is a yellow jacket nest in the ground somewhere, there are some insecticides that come in a powdered form that can be used that you can apply. And that those are pretty effective. I would recommend having that done by a professional pest control specialist, though, because, again, they can be aggressive and you don't want to get stung by them. But if the nest is not in an area where it's really kind of in your way, then just leave them be.
Hmm.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
You mentioned this early on, and I kind of just wanted to dive deeper in there, but what purpose do they serve for the environment other than being natural pest control?
Well, natural pest control is a big part, you know, not just for kind of, you know, human garden pests or for, you know, pests of our homes, but they just kind of keep the populations of other types of insects and other critters in check. Mm. So, you know, an interesting example are the tarantula hawks. These are actually, to me, I think one of the most spectacular wasps. If you've ever seen one, they're very large. So if you see one, it might be a little bit alarming because you think, oh my gosh, look at the size of that wasp. It seems really scary. But they're really not, you know, kind of like mud daubers. They are not aggressive towards people. They're not interested in stinging you unless you give them a good reason to. Mm. But they get the name tarantula hawks because they are not just predators of tarantulas and other spiders, but they actually are what is called parasitoids. Mm. And this is a really cool life cycle that is unique to insects, actually. Oh. And what it is they don't just paralyze the spider. They actually lay their eggs in the body of the spider.
Oh, whoa.
And the wasp larva, the wasp larva actually feeds on the internal organs of the spider as the spider is alive and going around and doing its thing. And they avoid feeding on the essential organs because the spider needs to stay alive so the wasp can complete its development. And then once it has completed its development, they emerge out of the body of the spider and that kills the spider. So it's a kind of a gruesome life cycle to have.
I wish I can describe my face right now to listeners, but I'm absolutely horrified.
Is it a big giant smile, Dina?
No. It's like a shock. My jaw is on the floor. I'm like, what the? Oh my God. I want to jump out of my body. Like, this is just so cringe. Oh my God.
But you know, if you see a tarantula hawk, you got to just kind of pause for a minute and watch it, because often what you see is they're on the ground and you'll see their antennae moving around really rapidly and they're usually searching for spiders. So if you see a tarantula hawk, just watch it for a little bit, and chances are you might actually get a chance to see it catching a spider and injecting an egg into that spider, which is just one of those crazy wild things that happens out in our backyards that most people aren't even aware of.
Wow. I am just, speechless. I feel like, did we scare our listeners, or did we encourage them to want to like kill them all? Like, I don't know where the balance is.
Well, you know, I'll tell you about another one that you might have in your home. And this sounds like, you know, alarming too. But, you know, you said at the beginning that you're not real excited about cockroaches. Well, there is a wasp that specifically attacks cockroaches. Huh. And this is actually an example of a wasp that is common in our area, but it's not native. These are called ensign wasps. Mm. So they're not native, but they do help to control cockroaches. Wow. And so what they do is they lay their eggs not in the bodies of cockroaches, but in the egg cases that cockroaches lay. Oh. So they will prevent the cockroaches from being able to reproduce. Wow. And these wasps, they're kind of weird looking. They don't look like normal wasps. A lot of times people see them and they think it's a fly. If you look at it carefully, they've got long legs and it looks like they're missing an abdomen. But if you look even more closely, and you got to get up pretty close to see this, they do have an abdomen. It's just a really small one and it's kind of located high up on the body in kind of a weird location. So they're a really unusual looking wasp, but they do a really important job, which is to help to control cockroach populations. So if you see one of those in your house, I would recommend not killing it because they're going to help to control your cockroaches.
And don't we know we've got a cockroach problem in Texas?
I will admit I am not a huge fan of cockroaches. I can tolerate them, but they're not my favorite.
Noted. So the message here is basically leave the wasps alone, right?
You know, the message is, if you can leave them alone, then I recommend it, because they are doing important jobs out there in the ecosystem. And although some of them can be dangerous, most of them are not. So I do want to be clear that there are people that have allergies to wasp stings, just like to bee stings and to other insect stings. And for those people, they really do need to be cautious around wasps. And if you don't know if you have an allergy, then you also probably should be cautious. But it's really only a small number of the wasps in our area that are likely to sting at all. And for most of them, you have to really be doing something to threaten the nest. So I think it happens most often where somebody inadvertently stumbles upon a nest and the wasps perceive that as a threat and then they defend themselves. The other way is if people are trying to remove the nest and maybe aren't being real careful about it, then, you know, you could get stung. So my advice, avoid them if you can. If you have to remove them, do so cautiously. Or contact a pest control professional.
I think that's solid advice. Honestly, I feel like, not that I've changed my mind, but as someone who has yet, and hopefully keeping my fingers crossed here, I don't get bit by a wasp. I don't know if I'm allergic, so I'm just going to try to keep avoiding them and just do my thing. They can live wherever they want to live, just far away from my house.
Fair enough.
Thanks so much, Scott. This has been so great. I really appreciate you kind of just telling me all the details about wasps. I'm really fascinated.
Happy to do it, Dina. Anytime.
That was Scott Solomon with lead producer Dina Kespa. You can learn more about bugs and other wildlife in our area by checking out Scott's website with a link in our show notes. Before we go, I have the most Houston story ever, so get ready. HPD and Bark authorities had to rally earlier this week to capture a spider monkey on the loose on Telephone Road. I'm not making this up. The monkey bit a resident, and then we later found out that the monkey also got into a fight with a dog. Yes, seriously, again, I am not making this up. The craziest part of this, it is totally legal to own a spider monkey or any other monkey as long as it's not over 20 pounds as an adult. The monkey is currently at a wildlife center waiting to be reunited with its owner. Ah, I love you, H-Town. Never change. That will do it for today. Thank you for listening, and I hope you learned something new.
That honestly was, oh my God, I was cringing. And then I was like, wow, that's fascinating. And so many emotions.